Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Next item, number 24, proposed ordinance number 10-24, creating section 8-1-24 of the Code of the City of Pensacola, camping on private property prohibited. Next item, number 25.
We almost got through that item with no discussion, which I thought was weird because I think this is a kind of an interesting thing. I mentioned to you last time we were talking to Brad Baker about this. City of Pensacola is considering an ordinance that would ban camping on private property, and the city council had some questions. After a pause, I'm not sure why it took them so long, but Jen Brer, who is always good to ask a question.
Because I asked this, and I want to clear it up with the public, but I asked that question about can my grandkids camp in my backyard? And this on private property is only commercial property, just as a condition. So I'm just clearing that up for the public and ourselves. Thank you.
Well, no, unfortunately. But look, it's an easy thing to misunderstand. But Casey Jones had kind of that same question. Can we clarify? What about, you know, if you're banning camping on private property? Well, what if the kids want to camp out in the backyard? You know, or is that going to be prohibited?
I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about this more on Thursday, but it might be helpful to specify in there the whole idea of children camping in their backyard.
Well, that somehow won't be an issue. Sorry. That won't be an issue anyway, because it would be at the owner's discretion. So regardless, again, we'll look at that. But yeah. If the parents allow the children to camp, it would be a moot point anyway, because you would have the property owner's permission.
Yeah, and that's a good note, which was followed up on by that's DC Reads, of course, City Attorney Adam Cobb kind of answering the same way, that if you read the ordinance, it does make a provision for this.
Precisely. If you look down to the next subsection on C, it provides that additional detail that applies to residential properties, C sub 1. It's unlawful on residential properties without that owner's authorization. So, again, I assume if somebody has their kids sleeping in their backyard, mom and dad know about it and approve of it.
And is that strong enough language that if somebody calls and complains about something, because where it says it's unlawful to do it without authorization, I feel like it doesn't say anywhere in there that it is lawful with authorization. Right? I know that's...
We can talk offline.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with it, but, gotcha. But help me understand your concerns and we can talk it through.
Okay, if you look at the actual ordinance, which I have, it says camping is prohibited on private property. It shall be unlawful for any person to camp on private property. And then one, it shall be unlawful for any person to camp on private residential property. That's the part where I said Jen Brer, I think, had misunderstood, it's easy. That's why you have these conversations, to make sure everybody knows what's going on. To camp on private residential property without authorization from the owner. So you can't camp on non-commercial private residential property without. Okay, so presumably, unless you're going to put your kids out in the backyard in the tent and then call the cops on them and say, no, I don't know nothing about it. Take them away, officer. So covered. It's fine. People can camp on their own private residential property. However, two, it shall be unlawful for any person to camp on commercial property. No exclusion. Three, it shall be unlawful for any commercial property owner or agent to allow persons to camp on commercial property. So it's not only unlawful for the camper, it's unlawful for the residential property owner or manager in order to allow the camp. So it's double, right? First offense is a civil citation, fine not to exceed $50. So camping costs you $50 a night now in Pensacola for the first night. The second night, $500 up to. And any violation of the provision of this code continues constitutes a separate offense. So every day. All right. There's another part of this that's interesting. And remember, this is all they're doing. This is not the city of Pensacola innovating something. This is the city of Pensacola aligning their codes, their statutes, with the state rule that goes into effect October 1st. So this is in my opinion, this is not Pensacola doing anything particularly intrusive other than complying with the law they have to comply with. But there is a part of this that did not get attention in the city council meeting, and I was a little bit surprised. There's a part just prior to that. Camping for purposes of this section is defined as, and then it goes through this whole list of use of fabric, cardboard, metal, whatever to create shelter, using a grill in conjunction with all of that, preparing a sleeping bag or bedding. But then it says this, number four, this is the one you want to pay attention to. Parking a motor vehicle is defined in Florida statute for the purpose of using the motor vehicle as a living accommodation, which includes sleeping overnight. The reason that matters is because there's a lot of people who are homeless that sleep in their cars. And actually had a good chance yesterday. I got a chance to tour Waterfront. Hadn't been there for a while. Not to tour it particularly. Got a chance to see their new women's facility. We'll talk about that probably tomorrow. It's great. They've got a new patient, like outpatient treatment after they've been to the hospital respite care area, which is great. Anyway, but one of the things that we talked about is how, you know, the levels of homelessness, okay, how people are homeless and, you know, what causes homelessness, but also not everybody who is homeless is, you know, sleeping on the sidewalk. There's a lot of people who have a car and an apartment and something goes wrong, or, you know, they have some cost, or they lose their job, or, you know, they get priced out of their apartment and they cannot afford it anymore. And so they are either temporarily or long-term living in their car. It's not all that rare of a thing. And of course, you know, I've never been homeless, but I have slept many nights in a car. Or maybe not nights, but at least, you know, for a couple of hours, you know, take a nap or something like that on a long trip. It's just not that uncommon. And, you know, that's me never having been home challenged kind of thing. So this is interesting because if sleeping in your car is now going to be illegal, I don't know what that's going to mean for the city of Pensacola and whether that's going to be, you know, sleeping in a public parking space that's no charge, sleeping in a public lot. I didn't realize that was in the state ordinance. I'll have to check to see if it is, but that's what I want to ask the mayor about because, I understand that we have to prohibit camping on a private property without authorization. I understand we have to prohibit camping on commercial and in parks. I get it. Yes, we have to. All of that. No sleeping in your car is what this looks like to me. And that caught my attention. 718 on News Radio 92.3. John's got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today.
Did you just laugh at me because I said traffic on the fives at 718?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I deserve it. Go on. Sorry.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents to let you know about. The only thing you really need to know about is I-10 eastbound. It's past the Pine Forest exit going to Highway 29 and further east. You're seeing some major delays. That's about a 10 to 15 minute delay there. So just pack your patience with that one. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You're the best. Our boss is listening right now, and she is cheering you on. Do it. Do it, John. Do it. Laugh at him. Make him feel uncomfortable. Look, sometimes the thought just takes a little longer to complete. Okay? Sometimes it does. 718, 19, here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you know, look, it's an important thing to pick the right real estate agent to represent you and make sure that your family gets the right deal, selling or buying. And there's all kinds of nuance to this now, right? When the market's hot, it's not that complicated. But when the market is like it is right now, a little bit unsteady, it takes a lot more, you know, sort of knowledge and experience to get you through. And a lot of realtors, more than about half of all realtors, don't even sell a home a year or sell less than a home a year on average. Christina Leavenworth and her team sold 175 last year. They're at 122 so far this year. I'm sure that number's higher since the, like, 4 days since I talked to Christina. But they sell about three a week. Okay, so they have experience to get you through whatever the challenges are. Certainly, they understand what's going on with the markets and the rates and the commission structures and even things like home insurance. Something I hadn't been talking about this, and then we had to go get home insurance ourselves, and we discovered, you know, it's not just that the market is bad for home insurance, it's that the market is weird with home insurance. Like, finding a company is a challenge, and finding a company that'll let you keep your water heater, you know, or like, we had to go through an application process where we walked through the house to take photos of under the sink and stuff. Like, it's a crazy environment out there for home. And the reason I bring this up is if you're buying or selling a home, the water heater age, the roof age, the the air conditioning age, the condition of the connections under the sink. I mean, any of that stuff could affect your ability to get insurance, and the price of insurance is a factor in buying and selling a home these days. So these are all things that you're going to have to think about, and you want a good real estate agent to help you understand what's reasonable, what's not, what you can ask for, what you shouldn't say yes to, all of that. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Jesus loves the unlovable. He loves sinners, and sinners come in all shapes and sizes. In John 3, Jesus shows love to a religious sinner named Nicodemus. Yet in John 4, he shows love to an adulterous sinner known as the Samaritan woman. Nicodemus needed to be born again even though he was religious, just as the sinful Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man who wasn't her husband, she also needed to be born again. The fact is, we're all sinners. When the Samaritan woman realized who Jesus was, she believed on him savingly and then told people all over town how Jesus saved her soul from the consequences of her sin. I urge you, trust Christ today to deal with your sin problem. You'll be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Faith Chapel Funeral Home and Crematory is humbled and excited to have the opportunity to thank you for once again voting us Best of the Bay 2024. This would not be possible without your support and our wonderful caring staff. They look forward to serving you and our community.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
For all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage, should the storm make an unexpected change of course, remember Sally? Keep it on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
To let it get to the guitar riff. You can't play that song and not pay off with the guitar riff. 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, Aerosmith. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Boeing officials calling their latest offer their best and final after striking machinists walked off their jobs earlier this month. Boeing's new offer reportedly would give employees a general wage increase of about 30%, but falls short of other union demands. Both Texas and Missouri have executions of death row inmates scheduled for today. In Texas, Travis Mullis will be executed for the 2008 capital murder of his 3-month-old son. Missouri denied clemency for Marcellus Williams, who will be executed for a 1998 murder of a reporter. And Andrew, it's been 6 decades now, more than 6 decades, but a big MLB record could be broken soon. The Chicago White Sox will enter tonight's game against the Angels, tied with the infamous 1962 Mets record of 120 season losses. One loss here in their final 6 games would give the White Sox the most losses in a season in modern Major League history.
I have confidence that the White Sox can do it. I'm sure they can find one of the next 6 games to lose. Probably more than one.
Well,
yeah,
I'm sure
your
faith in them, I'm sure, is appreciated.
Oh my God! So they're at what, 121 right now?
They're 122? At 120 right now.
They're at 120. Yeah. Okay. So the best record they could possibly end up with would be 120-42, a 3-1 losing ratio, and they're probably going to end up with 122-3 or 4, right? So probably let's be generous, 123 if they split out the year, right? 123-43. Good.
And just think
Lord.
How long that record will stand in the history books.
I mean, if you get a 100 losses in a baseball season is a lot. Like, you really suck. Just like if you get 100 wins in a year, you're really good. And you might think, well, it's only 20 more than that. It's only 20 more than that out of the remaining. Like, that's incredibly bad baseball. It's really, really bad. Just like to get 120 wins would be incredibly good. Like, it's just unheard of. And so, well. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents still on the big board right now, but if you're headed south on Highway 29 before 9 Mile, you're going to see some major delays there, about a 5 to 10 minute delay. Also, still dealing with I-10 from Pine Forest all the way down through Highway 29. That's I-10 eastbound. Seeing about a 10 to 15 minute delay just due to volume traffic. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, I got a little bit of update. I was kind of curious about the details on this Woodlawn Beach Middle School connector to Pensacola State College. And because here's what's happening. PSC down in the Tiger Point area is building a soccer complex, right? Which we talked about that with Brad Baker last hour. It's a $10 million or so dollar project, the first part of which Shavers is getting a $1.2 million prep site for this Thursday. But he dropped in the middle of that one of the bonuses of this project is they're going to build it right out of the northeastern side of PSC on the where there's a whole bunch of woods back there. And one of the things that they've got out of it is that Woodlawn Way, or at least Woodlawn Beach Middle School, will actually have a connector road that buses can use. Not for general access, not a road, although I wonder about that. But anyway, that buses will be able to use so that instead of having to drive through that whole neighborhood, which is it's all houses, like they put the school in the worst possible location from a traffic and residence point of view because it's all the way at the back end of the subdivision instead of being like at the front or at least having not a major access road to get there. So car riders, apparently it will not work for them, but for the buses at least, you'll get the bus traffic off of that and they'll be able to connect from the parking lot over to PSC. So I was just chatting a little bit with Commissioner Wright about this, and this is a thing that they worked out with PSC and good for everybody. So that's really, really a good news note. So thank you to Dr. Ed Meadows for letting that happen and providing some relief for the folks in Woodlawn Beach. And I've already gotten, you might think, it's one little subdivision, one little traffic development. Yeah, but for those people. I mean, I live in a place where we live behind a high school, and, oh, God, bless your heart if you try it at 3:30, you know, dealing with the traffic, the car riders, the buses, the pedestrians. I mean, it's, you know, what goes from an almost non-used road into Frogger every day at pickup and, you know, at 8:30 and at 3:30 every single day. So you just learn not to go. And I know there are lots of other schools that have that same exact problem. So this will be some light at the end of the bus tunnel, so to speak. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? We haven't talked much about the storm this half hour. I have been de-emphasizing it mostly because what we've heard from other people, like Brad Baker, we just talked to him, is obviously we're watching to see what happens. The reason we haven't been able to identify a real good path for this storm has been that the eye hasn't been formed, and so you can't really know where to start the path until you have the beginning place. And so that's kind of what's going on. But generally speaking, it seems to be going to our east. It seems to be going to Big Bend. It seems to be somewhere between a 2 and maybe a 4 when it gets there. That intensity keeps shifting, but the path seems to be going a little away from us. Obviously, we're still paying attention. This is a Thursday afternoon to evening arrival. We will really know a lot tomorrow, probably around noon when the hurricane forms. But we'll really probably know a lot later today when the eye forms and it's named as a tropical storm. But hey, you know, just it's if you're always prepared, then you don't have to be special. Like for us, we're always prepared. My only question is, well, does the family leave and go somewhere else? I have to stay because I work, right? I mean, I work here. But do we put up hurricane shutters? You know, that's really our only regular question is, do you put up shutters? And, you know, they're annoying to put up. At this point, I'm not putting them up. Now, if those tracks come out and it's significantly west of where it is right now, they're a pain to put up. It's so much time. And then you put them up, and you're like, when do you take them down? But, you know, that's just what you do. But so we are not expecting, but we are prepared for the possibility.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Election day is 6 weeks from today. Early in-person voting's already started in several states, including Pennsylvania, where former President Trump says, again, there's fraud.
We got to get out and vote. You can start right away. You know that, right? Now we have this stupid stuff where you can vote 45 days early. I wonder what the hell happens during that 45. Let's move the CD's votes. We've got about 1 million votes in there. Let's move them. We're fixing the air conditioner in the room, right?
He campaigns in Georgia tonight. Vice President Harris campaigns in Pennsylvania tomorrow. Their hurricane watch is issued along the Florida Panhandle and Gulf Coast with what would be Hurricane Helene on track to make landfall Thursday. National Hurricane Center Deputy Director Jamie Rome.
Looking increasingly like this is going to be primarily a Florida impact and potentially a significant one at that.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies, 72 degrees in Pensacola. The seven-month-old child that was the subject of an Amber Alert in Escambia County last night has been safely located. A suspect, the child's father, 35-year-old Daryl Fulmar, was arrested. The sheriff's office said the child was believed to have been with Fulmar, who did not have custody when that alert was issued last night. The child was found safely within hours of the alert. Fulmar now being held in the Escambia County Jail on charges of interference with the custody of a minor, contempt of court, and property damage. Pensacola's Habitat for Humanity will be meeting with local leaders this week. They'll be talking about new initiative that they're hoping will create affordable housing for generations to come.
We will now start accumulating, and we've already started to accumulate land in our land bank. And then we will build homes, or maybe even others will build homes on land trust property. And then these lower income or workforce buyers will purchase the home and then lease the underlying land.
That's Pensacola Habitat President and CEO Sam Young, who says they haven't been able to serve as many people as they wanted due to the rising cost of home ownership, but he's hoping that'll change with this community land trust. He says when somebody purchases the Habitat home on CLT land, they will own the house, but they won't own the land beneath it. And there'll also be covenants built in so they can only sell that home to somebody else who meets income qualifications. NASA astronaut Nick Hague and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov are preparing for a launch on Thursday to the International Space Station.
They're scheduled to take a Crew Dragon capsule to the station launched atop a Falcon 9 rocket. The capsule normally carries four people, but two will be left behind so that two NASA astronauts currently stranded on the station can be brought back to Earth when the mission ends in February. Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams arrived at the ISS in June aboard the Boeing Starliner for what was supposed to be a week. But issues with the spacecraft led NASA to leave them on the station out of an abundance of caution. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. Well, it's time to brace for a potential major hurricane. Governor DeSantis issuing a state of emergency for 41 counties across the state yesterday. That declaration did include Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Tropical Storm 9 is expected to strengthen into Hurricane Helene as it heads up the Gulf. DeSantis said the storm could pose a significant threat of storm surge, coastal flooding, erosion, heavy rainfall, flash flooding, and damaging winds. Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott have asked President Biden to immediately approve Florida's request for a pre-landfall emergency declaration. The governor will be holding a press conference here in the next hour with all of those latest details on that. And a FedEx driver being credited with stopping a porch pirate in South Florida. The homeowner's Ring camera recorded the incident Friday in Hialeah. The video shows an unidentified FedEx driver delivering a package when the porch pirate approached and claimed to be the homeowner. The driver asked the man to prove that he owns the home by opening the door, but the man turned around, went back to his car, and drove off. Police say the FedEx driver also took a photo of that man's car and license plate, but so far, no arrests have been announced. FedEx tells Local 10 News there in South Florida they appreciate the courier's quick actions to make sure the shipment was delivered to the intended recipient. 735 at News Radio 92.3, John Pickens with our traffic on the fives.
That's right, I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 11. We've got a vehicle crash. It's off to the side of the road, but the impact on that is causing major backups on I-10 eastbound from 9 Mile all the way through to Davis. It's about a 20-30 minute delay with that, so make sure that you pack extra time for that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a nice sunny day today with a temperature near 88 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, rain chances start to increase. We are expecting potential tropical cyclone 9 to make its way into the Gulf of Mexico, eventually becoming a hurricane before making landfall in the Big Bend. Coastal conditions going to be looking rough for us as our main concern. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies. It's 72 degrees in Pensacola, 72 also in Gulf Breeze, and it is 70 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The California Attorney General has announced a lawsuit against ExxonMobil, alleging it engaged in a decades-long deception about whether the plastics it manufactured can be recycled. The Attorney General's office called plastics recycling infeasible back in April. Novo Nordisk's top executive is set to testify to a Senate over the high prices of the company's weight loss drug Wegovy and diabetes treatment Ozempic. Senator Bernie Sanders argues that Novo Nordisk charges Americans substantially higher prices than it does for patients in other countries. Chase CEO Jamie Dimon said geopolitics is the world's biggest risk right now because it may determine the state of the economy. Dimon said there is a chance for accidents in energy supply and a prolonged war between Russia and Ukraine. Futures are slightly higher after the Dow's record close again yesterday. The Dow Industrials gained 38. That's Your Money Now.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's Seafood Festival time presented by Fiesta Pensacola. Enjoy the arts and crafts, fantastic music, and of course, the seafood. Friday through Sunday in Seville Square. See PensacolaSeafoodFestival.com. Enjoy our national parks, the Gulf Islands National Seashore, Fort Pickens, and Johnson's Beach with no fee Saturday during National Public Lands Day. Check out VisitPensacola.com for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A northwestward motion is expected on Tuesday and Tuesday night.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Ivan 20 years ago. Which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We'll
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and sadly, we have a lot of things to talk about with our sheriff, Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, who is here in the studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir, as always.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Let's start with the Amber Alert. We had an Amber Alert yesterday. It looked to me like the father of the child had abducted was the allegation.
Yeah, that was the report we got. The father of the child, who we ended up arresting, Daryl Fulmer Jr., he had a domestic violence injunction on him. He violated that injunction. He pulled into the driveway. He actually pinned the mother's car in the driveway, gets out, and he takes their infant child, or their 7-month-old child, and then drives away. A couple things here. You know, you can't be bumping cars, pinning cars. You can't take a child you don't have custody of. And you also have a domestic violence injunction against you. You can't be doing that. So when there's a fear that the child may be in danger, then we do an Amber Alert. And that's why people got the Amber Alert. Fortunately, a relatively short time later, about an hour or so later, he shows back up at the address. He didn't have the child with him, but we were directed to where the child was. Child safe. He's in jail. Mother and child
reunited. Where did he leave the child?
Huh?
It's his child. Where did he leave the child?
I have an address of where the child was found. I'm assuming it was family member.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. The child was safe and he was returned to his mother.
Yeah. Good outcome, but, you know, obviously pretty scary thing, certainly for the mother. So, and she's okay after the car incident?
Well, I mean, she's well physically. You know, right. You know, the trauma that you would undoubtedly go through whenever your child is snatched.
Plus, you always feel like, it's one thing to have a domestic violence injunction against somebody, but you still feel like, I mean, a piece of paper is not all that strong, you know, and arrest after the fact doesn't prevent. I mean, we know horrible, terrible examples. Right. And so that's pretty scary stuff.
And that's why we jump on them pretty quickly. We try to get as much information out to the public. And I'm assuming once word got to him that everyone's looking for him, when their phones went off, that he decided this is not a good idea. And I'm glad.
I almost don't even want to talk about this next story because it's just so awful, and so I don't want to spend much time on it, but it is in the news, and if you have any insight that you can share with us about what we think happened, this is that story of the mom and her daughter. I cannot even imagine your officer showing up at this scene with a 10-year-old in a bed and a gunshot to the daughter and a gunshot to the mom, right?
Yeah.
Suicide for the mom.
It's tragically simple. That simple. We get a call of family members were concerned. They went there. And I want to say they actually found them first and called us. And then we get there. Obviously, we see a 10-year-old deceased in the bed with a gunshot wound. And then the mother in the bed, obviously, with a gunshot wound as well. And you just wonder, like a lot of people do, wonder, you know, what led them to this. And, you know, and as tragic as it is, you take your own life, then you also take the life of your child. I mean, why that is, I don't know. There was a note left, a multiple-page note. So we're going through all that just to make sure that we cover everything, that all of our bases on this investigation. But
so really, I mean, premeditated, really,
certainly thought out. You know, as much thought as you can give in whatever state of mind that the mother would have been in. But I showed up at the scene, and I mean, you could just tell again. It's just sad. You know, whenever you have something like this that happens,
I don't know how they deal with stuff like this. You know, I've told the story many times. I had a good friend in Phoenix who was a Phoenix PD cop, and you know, he had to leave child crimes. He just couldn't. He had two kids. He couldn't watch it anymore. Couldn't see it anymore. And the problem is that the good people you need to be in those environments solving these crimes, and in this case, it's not complicated to solve, but the detectives and the cops who see this kind of stuff, it's just an unbelievably hard psychological, right?
It is, and that's why we, you know, we have that informal response when we're all together and we kind of talk about these things. And you know, you can tell when you go to a scene like that, there's a lot of shaking, you know, slow shaking of heads and like, God, it's just terrible. And then then you got a job to do,
so you
kick into that investigative mode. Again, we were there. We were already meeting with some state attorneys over there on some other cases, and so they went over there with us, and we're all just trying to figure out, you know, first we have to make sure that is what indeed took place.
Right, right.
You know, we can't take that for granted just because of what the scene looks like initially.
That's something the ME, you know, Dr. Oleski has told me, is that they, you know, suicides aren't always suicides. And you have to be sure it's not staged or some, you know, it's a murder made to look as a suicide. And so you obviously, you have to investigate to make sure that's not the case, right?
That's correct. And then, you know, then that realization that, man, this is, you know, this lady took the life of her child and herself. And that makes it even more difficult.
We'll come back to the sheriff. Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with us from Escambia County. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about. That's I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 11. And that's causing some major backups going from 9 Mile all the way through Highway 29 and past that. So just be aware of that. It's about a 25-30 minute delay in that area, so just be careful. Plan extra time for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John, thanks so much for the update. Sheriff Chip Simmons, we move to the other horrible things that happened in the last week. I really do enjoy the weeks where we don't have so much, but of course, you know, we have police because we have bad people. You had on Sunday, a woman was murdered, this time looks like with a hatchet. Is that right?
Yeah, we got on the scene about the 500 block of Citrus Avenue, which is over off of Michigan Avenue, and we see a female victim with a horrendous head wound, and it obviously is from some sort of a blade instrument or a sharp instrument. We believe to be a hatchet. We do have a suspect in the investigation. We did make contact with that suspect. That suspect is in jail on some unrelated charges.
Okay.
But we are working on getting a warrant prepared, so... We're working with the state attorney's office to keep him in jail until we can get that.
He's in custody, not on this, but that's because you're holding him on the other things, but in expectation of charging him with the murder.
Yes, yes. Okay. He's certainly a suspect in the case. But again, we have to make sure that we have enough probable cause and we have to get enough to where a judge will sign a especially murder. Yeah. As you can imagine, we have to make sure that we have enough to prosecute. So. We made sure that he's staying in jail, and we are working on the murder warrant for him for that that particular crime.
We also had a gunshot murder. This is time with a gun. Two Hondurans, one murdered the roommate, is what it looks like on Rebel Acres Lane.
Yeah, there was a disturbance, and one it's as simple as that. One shot another. And we're still trying to confirm the victim's identity. Who's from Honduras and. Okay. We're not sure of the status there. They don't let us know all the statuses of the immigrants and such. But as we know, we arrested a Dennis Herrera basically a short time later, charged with second-degree murder in the shooting.
Any prior calls to the location?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay.
It's just, again, it's a sad thing, but it's a disturbance that escalated to a shooting.
And I know because they're Hondurans, people will want to know that if there's, are they here legally, here illegally? Do we know at this point any legal status in terms of the two men?
Yeah, again, one of them, the one that we arrested, did have a visa and had been here for some time. But we're having trouble with the victim's identity and, you know, because how easy it would be just to give an ID of some sort. So we're trying to find out for sure.
And then the last one, thank goodness, on Saturday there was an attempted murder, stab wounds, and this is involving a brother against a brother. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly what it was. Brothers were fighting each other. One of them takes out a knife and stabs the other brother several times, cutting him. Short times later, we found the cutter, the stabber, and arrested him, charged him with attempted murder. I think what you're seeing here is, again, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things.
Yeah.
And all of them seem to be personal kind of tragic,
none of these
personal
are, none
violence.
Of these are drug-related. None
yeah,
of these
no
are...
No drive-bys. No, yeah. You know, normally I'll tell you that you know, almost all murders, almost all shootings are drug-related. I think we're actually doing a pretty good job of getting, you know, stopping cars and pitting cars and getting some real-time crime center up and running.
Yeah.
The technology that we're using now. But this is, you know, these are difficult. You know, how do you stop two brothers from fighting? How do you stop, you know, two friends from fighting and shooting each other? Those are going to be difficult things for us to, and murder-suicide. I mean, those are very difficult things to comprehend. And additionally, they're difficult to, you know, for us to stop.
And yeah, I mean, what's the law enforcement preventative strategy for any of these? As you know, you and I've talked about many times, you have, you know, profit and drug related crimes are one thing, which you can do a lot to thwart those,
right?
Because it's certain offenders, right? When it's something like this, it's just, you know, it still shows up as a murder in the box score, so to speak, but it's a completely different kind of thing. Domestic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I would like to just kind of to your point about how you just deal with the murder-suicide of a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
We have investigators. We have a handful of investigators, but conceivably we could have had the same investigator go to the Amber Alert, because we did have all hands on deck, including the real-time crime center. You could have those investigators go into the hatchet killing. You can have them go to the shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not just one or two here. Yeah, you could conceivably have the same investigator and certainly the same investigative supervisors, our sergeants that are in, lieutenants that are in investigations, that they go to these things. Now, this is a lot for a week,
yeah.
But again, Amber Alert, not a homicide, and technically the
murder-suicide puts you in that frame of mind. You're in that apprehension and concern and anxiety, and
they evaluate the scene. They're there. Mm-hmm. They see it. They, and part of the investigation is to try to recreate that in your mind, what could have taken place. Mm-hmm. That's what makes a great investigator, so that they can look at all avenues.
Somebody had texted me in the question at 437-1620. Do we have enough grief and psychology counselors for situations like this? Do you feel like that side of the staffing, funding, personnel is available enough
for internal?
Yeah, for you guys.
Well, and
or
that's
for families. And I mean, I know we have trauma informed counseling and all that stuff, right?
And the state attorney's or the attorney general's office has some counseling and some victims advocates available. This is why we created our mental health unit, where we have internal and external mm-hmm. counseling. Again, external or the co-responder unit with Lakeview clinicians, but we also have internal where you can go and talk to someone. Again, one of only two programs in the entire state, because we understand how important it can be for people sometimes to talk through these things.
I've kind of been asking everybody the same question because it's imminent now. We're within, 8 days of it taking effect. The new homeless ordinance, anti-camping ordinance that the state passed, mm-hmm. That you cannot camp on public lands. And then if the county, for example, wants to create a homeless campground, they can. They're not obligated to. There's all kinds of restrictions on that. It doesn't look at all, they've taken no action. It doesn't look like they're going to. The city is now passing an anti-camping ordinance that prohibits you from any commercial property camping with or without permission, and from any private residential property unless you have permission. The county has no such comparable ordinance, except like in Santa Rosa, it's a general camping prohibition. Anyway, your thoughts, what are you guys doing to prepare for implementation of the October 1st deadline? And is this Pensacola ordinance going to adversely affect the county? Like, just tell me what you're thinking as you hear all this, because you're going to have to deal with it. Your officers are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, the state law that passed, it goes into effect on October 1st, but actually enforceable on January the 1st. So it gives some communities some time to work through it.
I guess I had forgotten that part, that it's not enforcing until January.
Right, that's correct.
It's, okay, right. Well, that's it gives breathing space. Okay, all right, go ahead.
And the law itself is directed at the communities, it doesn't direct, the sheriff isn't mentioned, or the police department isn't mentioned in any of this law.
Okay.
So basically what the state is saying is county, city, you can't allow people in your public spaces anymore. And if you do want to do that, you have to have a place for them. Well, I'm not speaking for the Board of County Commissioners. That's entirely up to them. So there's no direction given to the sheriff's office to do this. I can tell you we're prepared. If Escambia County says, hey, we would like them removed, we're going to basically adhere to the law, and we're not going to allow them to camp on the sidewalk or do what, camp in a public space, then we will certainly go there and we will certainly remove them. We just need to be told.
But where do you take them?
Do that. Well,
if there's no place, where do you go?
Well, we have to make them move. And if they don't move, then we take them to jail. The thought there is they're going to move. And then there's plenty of shelters. Look, Andrew, we have paid millions and millions of dollars. Surely there's a direction. Surely there's a place. Surely there's a plan. Surely there's something. And I'm not talking directing towards anyone in particular. I just know there's a lot of money. And I wistfully a couple months ago said, you give me $1 million and I'll have a homeless task force and I'll do it. You give me some of that money, I'll have a task force.
I think Chip just volunteered to run the homeless program in Escambia County. So
the plan would be follow the state law.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. Follow the law and let's direct some of that money towards, you know, get what the county wants. And again, the county has to decide, do they want a shelter or not? And if they don't want a shelter, then let us know and we'll move them. Because if they don't call us, then as I understand it, and I'm not a lawyer, but as I understand it, then people or the attorney general can sue them because of this.
For not
enforcing this state law. And I know that there are some Supreme Court decisions that have enforced or reinforced the ability for the communities to do this. So I have not had a conversation with the county about this. We are simply waiting because, again, it doesn't mention the sheriff's office in any way in the entire bill.
All right. Well, action maybe, you know, is not, I don't know. I hope we get this figured out because, you know, January is approaching fast. I thought October was approaching fast, but, you know, certainly something needs to be done so that you guys know what you're doing when you get called on to enforce this stuff. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thank your officers. You know, I think all the time about what they deal with and what they go through and what they are tasked with solving in terms of crimes. And I really appreciate the work that your agency does. So thank you for the time this morning.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. It's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with that accident on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 11. It's on the side of the road, but it's still causing some delays stretching all the way back to 9 Mile Road. So make about a 15-20 minute, pack that into your drive if you're having to take I-10 eastbound. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It's the return of 0% financing for a very popular Volkswagen from Peakmore Imports. The 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan is now available with 0% financing for a full 60 months. The already discounted Tiguan S is now from $29,499 with a choice to finance through Volkswagen Credit at 0% for a full 5 years. But if 0% isn't your thing, take an additional $2,000 off the already discounted price for a lower sale price of $27,499. And low rates like 2.9% for 60 months are available on the 2024 family-sized Atlas. Or the choice of $3,000 in customer cash. And the Atlas Cross Sport with 2.9% for 60 months. Or the choice of $2,500 in customer cash. The numbers are looking better and better at Peakmore Imports. They're not at Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to PCI and a standalone offer not to be combined with customer cash discount. Sale price before tax, title, and income fees. Big dealer for details.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
For all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage, should the store make an unexpected...
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We are continuing to watch potential Tropical Cyclone 9, which will almost certainly become a tropical storm, and then Hurricane Helene later on today into tomorrow. We're listening to our local leaders who are basically saying they are preparing for the possibility, but they are not expecting it to come here. But we are certainly aware that it could, and so keep that in mind as you think about this.
You're listening to...